The backdrop of the story is that I had pastored for about 25 years in the traditional church setting and the traditional preach on Sunday and so forth like that. And 5 years ago, I began to be increasingly uncomfortable with the fact that I knew no people that were not church people. And so that resulted in a big career change where I moved from preaching on Sunday to basically working professionally now in a fire protection district. I'm a professional firefighter and drive the truck. I'm a guy on mission that God has done an amazing work on the inside of me, and I am deeply, deeply humbled with the opportunity to basically tell that story to a generation that's completely behind mine. Most of the guys I work with, I'm old enough to be their dad. In fact, in the fire service, when you've been there long enough, you get a name. And so after I had paid my dues, I was given the name Pappy, both for my age and the fact that, you know, I'm kind of a dad, father figure for guys that in many respects are fatherless, you know, and trying to find their way. How the gospel plays out for me is that, first and foremost, I would recognize that, to use the current language, I'm incarnational. That can happen while I'm riding in a fire apparatus, coming or going, just being at the station, you know, guys coming and asking me questions about stuff. One guy right now, he's a very traditional church guy, and I talked to him about just, hey, you're a believer, you need to, you know, recognize you can do this. And he said, you know, I'm disqualified, I can't do it. And I said, God, why is that? He said, well, because I'm not living the life right now. I'm out drinking and running around and so forth like that. You know, he said, and I can't be Christian and do this. And if I go back to my faith, basically a short version, I'll lose all my pals. And I was like, yeah, that's weird, dude, because it's quite possible for you to live a very kingdom life and a vibrant faith in God and be in our culture and in our society. So we had that conversation, and I could just see the lights come on. And the context for this story is that we're at a structure fire. I mean, the whole conversation didn't last but about 4 minutes. But that, for me, is missional life. I'm constantly being watched, and it was interesting that shortly after I got there, we were going to a call, and we were within just a few seconds of doing a head-on, and the chief that was with me dropped the F-bomb about what was about to happen, and I said, oh, shit, which was no thing to me. By the time I get back to the station, the word's out that Michael, the Reverend Chaplain Minister Christian guy, has used the word. It was interesting to me that I had a guy come and say to me, you know, I need for you not to be that way. I said, you know, pal, it's okay, for crying out loud. It's not like unpardonable sin. But as I listened to his heart cry, what he needed was just in a completely dysfunctional, sometimes horrifically dark place, I was a light for him. And I realized that while my using, you know, crap or shit is no big deal, just the example and model that I set for who I am as a Christian man was real important to him, because he vicariously, I think, pulled some life from me. And yeah, it was religious and kind of stuffy, but I tried to listen past his request and understand that for him, I represented the possibility of a different life. And it's those kind of subtleties of the ebb and flow of kingdom life where I find myself, and then I will find myself also in just another setting of being sought for counsel, which was quite amazing for me. Obviously, we have personnel, we have employees, we have stuff that goes on, and I found myself being brought into the conversation with the management level folks where they were saying, here's the situation, what can we do? What do you think would be best, which took me a little while to get my head over and to toggle back and forth between employee, counselor, and so on. So they say about me, they say, you know, Michael, you wear a lot of hats. And I had one guy who, you know, I'm pretty sure he's non-Christian. He said, Michael's like the Swiss Army knife for the department because he can just do all the stuff. And I've done funerals and weddings and so on. I've essentially just immersed myself and embedded myself in the culture and hopefully seeing the kingdom advance and kingdom principles established just in how we treat one another all the way over to a vibrant life in God. I'm also privileged to basically do the orientation for everybody that comes in new to the department. And so we get around to who's who in the department, and I'm quite comfortable saying, hi, it's me, I'm the chaplain. Now, whatever picture has come into your mind right now about anything related to chaplaincy, pastors, imams, priests, whatever, I'm not that, you know? And so that immediately disarms that, and then I seek out to build those relationships and discover where everybody's at in the journey. Some are much further along, and that becomes a much more intentional discipling process. Then there's those guys that are just, I don't know, might have some faith roots, and it's, you know, I went to church camp when I was a kid and I put my hand up for Jesus and that's the end of that. You know, I just go on and do my life. And then there are that group of folks that just simply have no idea at all about anything. I was in a deal Saturday where we did a leadership class and we got down to the ethics question, and two guys from my department just slid the paper over to me and said, listen, you're the ethics guy. You know what to do. You know we're jacked up. We don't know what to answer. And I thought it was just, and of course I'm very careful to listen, that the confession was, I'm messed up, but you're not. And so hopefully somehow God's going to connect those dots. But I would say that specifically it's just meeting folks ideally where they're at and encouraging them along in the journey. Because I'm wired in my gifting for evangelism and being apostolic, bringing people together, you know, facilitating conversation, and I'm a friend of all folks. The most exciting part of it was being able to be out of the church box. By the time I realized I didn't know any lost people, I had become pretty disenchanted with church stuff, and tragically, for several years, I was the lead guy, the lead minister, and preached all the stuff, preached great stuff, and it was just like banging my head against the wall. I think the most challenging thing is continuing to allow my reasoning processes from a religious perspective to be dismantled. It really is okay to find a church expression around a fire apparatus and that be legitimate, that it not be just sitting in our rows on Sunday listening to the guy talk and throwing, you know, a buck in the plate, and continuing to allow the Lord by the Spirit to renew my mind so that I'm transformed in how I see the world and how I am engaged in it. I think that thing for me that you always have to keep a watch on, and this is what happening in the situation I was at, is that we all have a tendency to go back to our primary default setting. I'm one decision away from being right back into Christendom, right back into the culture of the church. And I know that, you know, when God rescued the children out of Israel and they crossed the Red Sea, I mean, it's all real dramatic. But when it started getting a little bit rough and tumbly, they all want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to bondage. And I think that speaks to all of us. I have a natural inclination to want to go back to Egypt, even though I know there's no life there. And so I have to always keep a guard on my own heart to not go there.